Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring day sort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Time now for The Take with James Strebel.
Georgia comes into Kroger Field, into Commonwealth, as a 22.5-point favorite.
The Take with James Strebel.
Party's over, peephaw.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Oh, shut up. You stay at home and watch the game. I'm going to see. Hey, bro. Hey, bro. I'm in the fifth row. Sit at home and watch it on TV. I'll be seeing Oscar Sheway's sweat coming off his brow. How about that? I'm in the belly of the beast right now. I'm at a bar having fun, doing a little radio, and you got straight well settled down. You know, I remember when I was at my first basketball game, basketball games at Freedom Hall don't count. You know what I'm saying? Watching B.J. Flynn flop doesn't count. I'm in a big boy basketball game. Go to your App State game, homeboy. How about that? Watch your cards get waxed.
I'm here, everybody. Settle down, texters. I see your text. Damn it, Jack, where's The Take? What happened, Jack? 307, is this the Maven show?
No, it's the flagship.
Nick Pelosi sugarcoating this Louisville team, LMAO. Those are the texts I'm looking at. Nick Pelosi, definitely my favorite one. Yes, texter, I see a little bit of a late start. My apologies. Andy Sweeney is out today. I'm James Strebel. I got Jack Grossman with me. We are here on The Take. Hit your sounder, Jack.
Hello,
if you can.
Ladies.
There we go. It's a football Friday.
Football.
Yes.
Friday.
Actually, it's more of a basketball Friday,
football
to tell you the truth.
Friday.
We're going to talk a lot of football. Trust me. We have a loaded show today. We have guests galore. Kevin Sweeney. He's from Sports Illustrated. He will talk Zags and Cats. We also have our guy. He's on at 3:40. Then we have our guy, Lee Sterling, on about 4:35. Lee will do his thing with Paramount Sports. He'll tell you how to get ready for your betting weekend. And then Rob McLam, he works for the Fan Nation's NC State website, and he will talk Wolfpack with us at 4:00. So we have all bases covered today. We'll even throw a little IU talk in there, Jack. A little
post-game
IU talk.
Show at 8:00 tonight.
Post-game show. 8:00, the first one of the season for the
damn
basketball
right,
Hoosiers. Yeah, little Xavier, little IU Hoosiers. Little, you got your guy. You got your guy, Sean Miller. You got Woody, Mike Woodson. He's heading on the road to Cincinnati. Maybe Chris Mack's there. I don't know. Is Chris Mack a special assistant coach on the bench tonight? Is
he's
that going to
be parked
the case?
Right behind the Xavier bench.
He will be right behind the Xavier. You're right. He'll have
the quarter zip on with the big X on it.
Oh, yeah. He'll have his Musketeers gear on. Maybe he'll throw an L's down. Hell, I don't know. I'm kidding. Chris Mack's not throwing an L's down.
Would anyone be that shocked if he did, though?
No one would be shocked at all. So, and then we had the mixtape at 5:30, as always, on a Friday. So, yeah, we're loaded here.
Yeah, we can start
here.
That at 5:20 if you want to.
We'll start that at 5:20. Let's go. We'll do our pick segment. As crappy as that is, as wrong as we will be, we'll do our pick segment, and then 5:20, we'll head right into the mixtape. So, there you go. I set the table a little bit, and other things we'll discuss, obviously. The football games, Cats, Zags, A.J. Johnson, and Isaiah Miranda, there's some news there. We'll get to that. I've got some tweets by Sean Vincel about Louisville and their recruiting. Jack, I don't know if you know this or not, but you made KSR today. Did you know that?
I made KSR today?
You made KSR today. So we'll get to that.
I did have a conversation with Roush last night.
Oh, you had a conversation with Roush. But we'll get to that when we talk about, I don't know. We'll fit it in, but we will.
Two nuggets from being at Rupp Arena last night that BBN Media hasn't – one of them that BBN Media hasn't caught yet that I'm disappointed.
Oh, okay.
That I noticed one time it took being in Rupp Arena this year to notice.
Really? Okay. Yes. So it was – all right. Fantastic. Very good. All right. Well, Sweeney's not here. He'll be back on Monday doing a little family stuff. So hopefully he's having a good day today. And, of course, you know, the first thing I see, a lard-ass text. See, go listen to Ennis. If you don't want to listen, go listen to Ennis with your bum-ass take. Get out of here. All right. So – let's go ahead and get started here, Jack. You were at Rupp Arena last night. We'll talk about your experience there. And also, yes, I see your bum-ass picture, too. You change it. You're still listening. You're still listening because you love it. You do. You love it. Go ahead and either change the station or quit texting me. You have two choices, change or quit texting, or I'm going to block your number like Diener and Blankenbaker. I'm kidding. I don't block numbers, but this person's a lame-o. Anyway, so...
that was a lot.
So, anyway, Jack, you were in the belly of the beast. You were in Rupp Arena last night, and you saw
Corrupt
Kentucky
Arena, as
Corrupt Arena.
Yeah.
Did you have two fouls? You walked in the building automatically.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the bench the entire first half.
Yeah, did John Calipari know you're an IU fan? Did he sense that? Did he sniff you out?
Did he sniff out your loyalty? As he told his Tim Duncan and Marcus Camby story to the question.
That's how you made KSR. That's how you
of
make.
Of course, that's how
yes.
it was.
So yeah. Jack Grossman was at the game last night. Kentucky beats South Carolina State by 43 points.
Covered the spread.
The spread was 41. Somehow they covered that 41 into 43 points. And look, that game was just basically a glorified practice to get ready for Sunday. That's how I viewed it, Jack.
It was a scrimmage.
It was a scrimmage. Yeah, it was a scrimmage to make sure everybody's right. You get your confidence
up. It's a crutch for if they lose Sunday. It's like, oh, we played three games this week. What do you want us to do?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, Cal's going to tell you how tired the team is. Then they've got to play again on Wednesday.
And then we go to London.
And then we go to London right after that. I mean, it is just one of those things where you know Calipari is he's playing the hits already, and you saw him, Jack Grossman, in all his glory last night. He was doing Quiz Cal.
Yep.
He was telling stories. He was in the time machine. He was talking about guys shooting too many balls into the hoop, and Jacob Toppin, I just want you to get offensive rebounds. Damian Collins, just block shots. I mean, he was in all of his glory last night. You got to see it up close.
He was in rare form.
And what I want to see, what I want to see more than anything, I want to see John Calipari fall in love with you. Because that's twice now that you've gone into Rupp Arena, Jack Grossman, and you've asked John Calipari questions, and they've made news. The first was obviously the IU versus Kentucky story.
I didn't even have to get paid for this one.
Yeah, exactly. And this one, I mean, it's right here. It was on KSR this morning, Jack Grossman. It says right here, Calipari compares Oscar Tshiebwe versus Drew Timmy to Marcus Camby versus Tim Duncan. I mean, it's right there. Mrs. Tyler Thompson, she's the one that gave you the love, Jack. She wrote the article. I've got to see, they don't give you any credit. They didn't say. Jack Grossman asked the question. Jack Grossman of the take.
It's a press conference.
So yeah, exactly. I'm kidding. Obviously, I'm not looking for them to, you know, hunt down Jack Grossman and interview. But yeah, so you made a little bit of news last night. As that was a good question. But I need this to continue to happen because
they have, you know, the intermediate period where, you know, they're just testing the sound and all that. And I should know his name. I don't know his name. But the guy goes, this will be your only opportunity to ask about Gonzaga also. And I heard that. I was like, perfect. Now I don't even have to feel bad about asking.
Exactly.
This.
Yeah, because he's not going to do it. I mean, they're either on a plane right now or they're already in Washington State. I mean, they were leaving. I think they left this earlier this morning to get to Washington. So they're probably already touched down. They're there. So, yeah, there's not going to be a big immediate availability for the Kentucky Wildcats and John Calipari until Sunday after the game. So that was perfect. You asked a good question, and John Calipari, I could hear it in his voice. He was starting. starry-eyed because a true basketball Benny like himself asked a basketball Benny question. You asked about the matchup between National Player of the Year and the fake National Player of the Year and Drew Timmy, the player that all the basketball writers want to be the National Player of the Year. They're just dying to crown him the National Player of the Year. So you asked a good question, and I just need you to keep doing it, man. I just find a way, because you've got a great voice, you've got a great personality.
Thanks.
You seem like a guy that John Calipari would actually like. I don't think he'd be too snarky with you. You're not.
He did get snarky with me at the end.
Did he? I didn't hear that. I guess what did he say to you at the end?
Well,
I didn't. I missed
saying
it.
The score.
Oh,
and then,
okay.
And then I think it was Rouse said the correct score. And then Cal said, "That's what did I say?" And I said, "The score that Cal said." And then he asked me to repeat it. I said it again.
Okay,
then,
there.
And then he goes,
"That's Rouse's fault. You're not to blame there.
I blame Nick Rouse. I'm not mad at Cal. I had fun with it.
It's Rouse's fault. We'll just blame Rouse. How about that? We'll blame Nick Rouse that it's his fault that things got mixed up. So I'm glad you had a good time last night. You and your guy Cam Drummond went out. You had a couple drinks last night. What happened?
More than a couple.
Oh, boy. So how are you feeling right now? You're pulling a long day, too.
I'm feeling good today.
You're okay?
Yeah.
All right. You're pulling a long day. I'm
running on adrenaline. I'm feeling good.
You got to talk Woody and Jack.
I mean, I was at the game in the pressers yesterday.
Yep.
At the bar later at the night.
Whoa.
Got co-hosting the show, talking basketball today, and football as well, because it is a football Friday.
It is a football Friday. We'll talk football, for sure.
And then we got the Hoosiers at 6 and a post-game show. So this is a phenomenal 24 hours for Jack Grossman.
You're rolling, Jack. You are absolutely rolling. So I'm happy for you. Now, are you going to the football game tomorrow?
Probably not.
Probably not. It's going to be cold, but, you know.
I don't have anyone that wants to go. None of my friends want to go.
We'll talk more about this game later. I'm interested to see.
What
Louisville fans, like how passionate they are about this game. Because I think Louisville fans just think they're going to win, which I agree with them.
And I haven't had a weekend in a while where I can just take a Saturday,
kick up
sit
your
on
feet.
The couch. Because next weekend I'll have family in town, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun, but just take a Saturday, kick my feet up, and watch a bunch of games.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I just, next weekend's going to be crazy. Next week's going to be crazy. We're doing so many games. Here between now and next weekend. I mean, we've got Cats, Cards, basketball, football, IU Hoosiers. I mean, we're just stacked. I'm going to be in this studio. This is the time of year, Jack, where I'm in this studio all the time. I'm looking at it like 2 or 3 days a week, which is fine. I love doing it, but it's going to be busy. You're right. So this is a good weekend to kick back, watch some basketball, watch some football. So there you go. So my whole thing last night on the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show, Jack, was, as I stated earlier, it's like a dress rehearsal for Gonzaga. I mean, Kentucky, we knew, was going to win that game. Kentucky, we knew, was going to cover that spread. And there were some things last night that I saw that made me feel good, and there were some things last night that I saw that I have questions about. And obviously, Oscar Tshiebwe playing limited minutes, which that was on purpose, that was by design. Cal, you know, he played a ton of minutes versus Michigan State, probably more minutes, Jack, than he wanted him to play against Michigan State, because he had to do it.
He had to. And they're in a game that they could have won, and ultimately did lose.
They did lose, yeah. They needed Oscar Tshiebwe in that game to play the amount of minutes that he did. He would have played both overtimes if he had not fouled out there. So you saw limited Tshiebwe. I'm okay with that. The 17 points that CJ Frederick put up was kind of one of my big talking points last night, because that's well and good against South Carolina State. That's well and good against Howard. That's well and good against Duquesne. But we didn't see anything close to that versus Michigan State. Now you can say, Strebel, Michigan State did a good job of taking CJ Frederick away from that game, which I agree.
Which I would argue.
Yeah, that's a great point. But you have to find a way to get him open. You've got to put the offense in a position to get him open. I understand, Jack, about throwing the ball to Old Reliable in the middle. And Xavier Wheeler and Kyle Tucker had a little bit of back and forth about that on Tuesday night. About, you know, did they try to rely too much on Tshiebwe late in that game? Look, I get it. You know, most of the time he's a bucket down there. But in games like this, you need perimeter shooting. In games like this, especially with Gonzaga, where you feel like you have superior guards and they play a similar style. Michigan State does not play the same style of basketball that Gonzaga and Kentucky plays. Gonzaga and Kentucky want to get out in transition, get up and down, and play as fast as possible. Michigan State likes to control the pace, like to bully you, they like to rough you up. That's not going to be Gonzaga. That was a tough game for C.J. Frederick. That was a tough game for Antonio Reeves.
It was. But also, and a reason why I'm not incredibly worried about C.J. Frederick long-term, does he have limitations? Yes. Is he ever going to be a great defender? No. But he's a guy playing at Iowa when the Big Ten was actually good, not the pile of crap that it is this year, has played really good teams in his career.
Yes.
And has had success against really good teams in his career.
Yeah.
Whereas Antonio Reeves from Illinois State, I'm kind of stealing your argument here, Strebel.
Yeah.
He hasn't proven that. So for me, 1-7 from Antonio Reeves. As much as everyone wanted Reeves in the game at the end in the overtime, is more worrisome than C.J. Frederick at this stage.
Sure. And you need, and I said this last night on the postgame show, you don't need both of them to be firing away.
You need one of them.
You need one of them because Casey Wallace is going to do his thing. Casey Wallace did what he does. He hit two threes. He was good at the point. He's going to hit 2 to 3 three-pointers a game. But you need C.J. Frederick or you need Antonio Reeves to both hit about 3 or 4 three-pointers to complement what Casey Wallace is doing. And neither one of them did that. And that's ultimately what killed them. So it was nice to see him score 17 against, you know, South Carolina State, but the big matchup against Gonzaga on Sunday, you've got to have either CJ or Reeves playing at a level where they can, if they're open, they hit a shot. If they need to hit a contested three here and there, they've got to do it. They've got to come up big. I'm not worried about the front court of Kentucky against Gonzaga. I think they're superior there. I think, you know, Timmy and Oscar, I think, will wash out, but I think the size...
Only wash out?
I mean... Timmy will probably have a double-double. You know Sheway will have a double-double. So I think they will kind of cancel each other out.
I thought Oscar was better. I thought Oscar was going to crush him.
No, he still have better numbers. I think at the end of the game, he'll have better numbers.
Then it won't be a wash then.
Oh, good. Okay, good point. They won't have the same numbers, Jack. Oscar will be better, but Drew Timmy's going to do his thing. He'll have a double-double, I'm guessing, because they run the offense through him.
Yeah.
But I'm expecting the guards to be far superior to what Gonzaga's guards are. Even Malachi Smith, who was, you know, a big-time transfer guy, is only averaging about 9 points a game. That's fine. That's pretty good. But then you have Hunter Salas is a fine guard. Nolan Hickman's a fine guard. I expect Kentucky to win this game. And they looked the part last night against a inferior team. They did what they needed to do. But this is early season non-conference big-time basketball, and it's just been a while, Jack, since, as a Kentucky fan, I could sit and watch John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins beat UConn in Madison Square Garden. Or I can watch Brandon Knight go to the Maui Invitational, beat Washington, be in the championship game against UConn there. Or
a lot of
watch,
UConn examples.
Yeah, a lot of UConn. Yeah, those two. Watch Anthony Davis and that team beat Kansas in the Champions Classic, and then beat North Carolina in that massive game at home. And then they, you know, 38-1 team.
And then lose on the watch shot.
Yeah. Yeah. The 31 team just blitzes Kansas. I mean, we were so used to feeling so good in these early non-conference games, we've gotten away from it. We lost one Tuesday night. We've got, as Kentucky has got to win this just for cachet, for college basketball prestige. You just can't lose to Gonzaga. Gonzaga is on the ropes right now. It's one thing to lose in double overtime, but to just get obliterated by a team by 19 points, sometimes that's hard to get off the mat from. And Gonzaga's going straight from that game to Kentucky. There's no buffer between that for Gonzaga. They don't have another game in between. So that's why I think ultimately Kentucky has the advantage. We'll ask Kevin Sweeney about that around 3:40. So any thoughts on any of that, Jack?
First of all, before I say anything else, did you see who the new number one team in KenPom is now?
No, who?
Not Kentucky. Texas.
Texas. Well, the KenPom fluctuates as the season goes on, Jack.
Yes,
we'll see what it is after this weekend. Look, it was a good win by Chris Beard and the Longhorns. But didn't Texas beat Gonzaga last year too?
No, Gonzaga basically did what Texas did to them.
Okay,
in
so they beat them pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So that was there. Okay, I knew they played last year, but I couldn't remember.
Yeah, Gonzaga
Duke beat Gonzaga, and Alabama beat Gonzaga in the non-con. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But when we get a November game, obviously it's a long season. This isn't football. You have time to get better, and especially with Kentucky being the SEC, I said this earlier in the week, you have a lot of opportunities to get really big wins. This isn't what the SEC was in those years, where you talked about Cousins and Brandon Knight and Anthony Davis at 38-1, where the SEC was terrible, and yeah, they won those games, but those games were even bigger then than they are now, mm-hmm. because you had a pile of crap in the SEC that you were playing against. You didn't have chances to get good wins in the SEC.
You needed those wins
bad. You needed
them. Yeah.
And now you still need them, like Indiana tonight. They need that win against Xavier. For nothing else, they're not going to have a lot of chances to get great wins
right.
in the Big Ten. Like, so there's even more pressure on them to get a win like tonight. Even if Kentucky loses the game Sunday, they still have plenty of opportunities.
They got UCLA, they got Michigan. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and then obviously
and then the SEC.
Arkansas. And
yeah.
Maybe not Tennessee anymore, but
Arkansas,
Alabama.
Definitely not Texas A&M.
Yeah.
They lost again today.
You got to make sure they get in the tournament.
Yeah, got to make sure, Sankey, that Buzz Williams and his bum team gets in the tournament.
But even with all that said, what losing to Michigan State does and what Texas embarrassing Gonzaga does, it puts you in a situation where this game does mean more for Gonzaga for everything I just said because they play in the West Coast Conference and all that.
Right.
But it puts in a situation where you have these two teams that have such high expectations. You don't want to start 3-2.
No.
That is not how you keep those good feelings from the offseason going. If you lose this game, if you're Kentucky, then there's going to be a lot of anger. There's going to be a lot of doubt.
There already was on Tuesday. You're right.
And there's going to be, you know, you bring it up that there's other opportunities. I think you got to wait till the UCLA game to actually get more people to buy back in on this team being great because Michigan lost by 25 to Arizona State.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And Arizona State lost to, they lost a cupcake earlier this week. I'm trying to remember who it was, but they lost a cupcake game earlier in the week, a nobody team. So you're not going to have a chance to play another top-of-the-line team until UCLA on December 17th. November 20th to December 17th is an abyss of time in college basketball where we're not going to be sold on UK as a team.
Right. No, I'm with you.
And that's something that you can recover from, that can be rebuilt, but it could be a long 4 weeks for John Calipari if they don't beat Gonzaga because they'll rack up wins against teams that they're better than, but no one's going to care. It's going to be beat the top of the line team. You've had really one chance. We don't view Michigan State as that right now. Maybe that changes as the season goes on, and they're definitely playing like a way where that can be shifted. But you've had one chance against the top of the line team, and you lose, and then you lost another game against a team that we thought you were better than.
Yeah.
How good is this team actually? To make up for Michigan State now, you absolutely have to beat Gonzaga.
No, I'm with you 100%, Jack. And just a little bit on the Louisville side of things before we take a break and get Kevin Sweeney in here.
And Gonzaga's beatable, too. I think
they are beatable.
Kentucky's guards are much better than Gonzaga's guards.
I'm with you 100%.
Gonzaga doesn't defend.
They don't defend. They're not physical. They athletically, Kentucky should be better than them athletically. So, no, I'm with you, Jack. If they lose this, it's going to be a huge disappointment. Now, real quick on the Louisville basketball front, they don't play again until Monday. We'll talk more about that on Monday. But recruiting update. It was announced today that A.J. Johnson, the five-star guard that was supposed to be at Louisville Live, that didn't show up to Louisville Live, and then was supposed to visit Louisville in November, but didn't visit Louisville in November, he's making his decision on Monday, and he was supposed to be a guy that might sign in the early spring. That's obviously been bumped up, and all signs are pointing to Texas right now for A.J. Johnson. So Chris Beard, that would be what, Marcus Smart, that would be Tyrese Hunter, and now possibly A.J. Johnson. That's three guards that you wanted badly that Chris Beard beats you out for.
With Texas.
Yeah, just, yeah. I mean, no, it's, I mean, I think Louisville's out on these guys first, and it's like Chris Beard comes along. Like, I think Louisville was within Marcus Carr first. Like, it seemed like they reached out to him first. Seems like they reached out to Tyrese Hunter first. And they, you know, they've been on A.J. Johnson for a while, and Chris Beard seems to be just swooping in at the last minute.
He does the
Cal magic trick. He swoops at the end, and he takes your player. And then, on the other side, there's also rumors that Louisville's now trending away from Isaiah Miranda, who's a five-star big man. When Aaron Bradshaw went to Kentucky, he was like, okay, at least we'll get Isaiah Miranda possibly. And look, Travis Branham and other recruiting guys had said that Louisville was in a good place with both guys. Things have changed with both guys, obviously, with A.J. Johnson looking like Texas on Monday. So, I mean, it's tough right there, out there right now for Louisville fans. There's not a lot of feel good with basketball recruiting or with winning on the court. I mean, at this point, Kenny Payne's just got to have some type of feel good. And
it has to come in recruiting.
It has to because it's not going to come with the basketball team as it is right now. You're right.
Yes, because they're losing the first two games for sure. Cincinnati lost to Northern Kentucky, so maybe you have a chance against Cincinnati in the seventh place game.
Yeah.
But you're playing a seven man rotation, you're on your third game in 3 days.
Yeah.
I'm not
in Hawaii. I've been to Hawaii, Jackie. There's a little jet lag that comes from going from here. And now all teams will be experiencing
you'll like this though.
Yes. What?
You know who plays for Cincinnati?
Who?
Rob Phinisee.
Rob Phinisee? What? I had no idea. IU's own Rob Phinisee? That's where he landed?
That's where he landed.
No wonder they're so bad. That dude's terrible. Like, he had zero game.
Archie Miller ruined him.
He was a 4 or 5 star, wasn't he?
He was a top 80 guy.
I was going to say, so he was like 4 star level.
He was a 4 star.
He was a 4 star. I mean, he was like a decent player, right? Like, when you all got him, you were excited to get Rob Phinisee.
He was the tight point guard that Big Easy would talk about.
That's right. He was. That's right. He was the tight point guard for you guys. Yep. And
Archie just killed his confidence and he never recovered.
Yeah, well, he killed everyone. He's killing Rhode Island's confidence now. So, I mean, that's just what it is. All right, Jack, let's go ahead and take a break because we got Kevin Sweeney coming up at 3:40. We'll talk Cats and Zags with him and his overall thoughts on college basketball. Again, Rob McLam coming up at 4 o'clock. Lee Sterling at 4:35. Knicks Take, 5 o'clock. It's loaded today on a Football Friday here on ESPN 680, 105.7 is the Take.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? LocallyOwnedDelivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDERNOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Time now for The Take with James Strebel.
And then Sandy makes the mistake of asking him, who is the better player, Jackson Davis or Oscar Tshiebwe? And unfortunately for everybody, Kevin answers the question and says Jackson Davis, which leads to 2 minutes. I'm not exaggerating. 2 minutes of Streetle and Jack yelling at each other about who the better player is. Now they've got a guest on the line. All right, and Strebel and Jack are yelling at each other. Who's the better player, Jackson Davis or Tshiebwe? It was a very embarrassing situation for everybody.
Well, I missed that
on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, I just love getting crushed by Dan, and so I love hearing that sound. All right, I want to thank George and Company for dropping off some Bear Notes pizza to the studio this afternoon. Louisville's favorite holiday pie, Bear Notes gift cards, because a Mama Bear Notes pizza won't fit in most stockings. So purchase a $20 Bear Notes gift card now through December 23rd and receive an additional $5 certificate. Also, Black Friday gift card sale Friday, November 25th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Get a $70 gift card for $50. And from November 26th to November 23rd, get $25 gift cards for $20. Yeah, it's that good. It's Bear Notes. Let's go ahead and get Kevin Sweeney in here. Let's not waste our guys' time. Kevin Sweeney at CBB Central. Also, Kevin Sweeney, SI Now. He's going to talk Zags, Cats, college basketball. How you doing, Kevin?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing great, man. Thanks for carving out some time. I mean, it's feast week is upon us, Kevin. College basketball almost every hour of the day from now until next weekend. We got the Maui Invitational coming up. We've got all these other tournaments and invitationals going on right now. How you doing, man? How are you enjoying all these games? And how do you keep up with all this stuff?
It's tricky. Definitely a fun time of year. I try to stay locked in on one, maybe two games max at a time, because at this time of year, I'm still trying to learn about teams more than I am trying to just keep up with scores, right? So I try to lock in and say, okay, I'm going to learn about Michigan today. And, well, we didn't learn very much positive things about Michigan last night, but, you know, the point stands. So I try to lock in on a game or two at a time and really learn. And obviously, once you get to February and March, you have to bounce around a little bit more.
Before we get into the Cats and the Zags, just early impressions of some of these teams in college basketball. Who are you impressed with? Who are you a little disappointed in? Is there anybody that's surprising to you? Just general thoughts on some of these teams as college basketball is really, really kicking off, you know, starting Tuesday night with Champions Classic and on through next week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought Texas was really impressive against Gonzaga. Obviously helped have a great home court atmosphere, but I just thought they looked a lot more cohesive together offensively than this season ago. The ball was moving from side to side at a really high level. I think Tyrese Hunter has helped them a great deal. And I also thought Michigan State, you know, was really good against Kentucky. Just the identity that they showed, their toughness, their physicality. They're not the most talented team by any stretch. They were probably the least talented at Champions Classic, but the way they found a way to grit out that game, I think those are the two, I think, headliners so far. But I mean, look, I've had a lot of fun watching Penn State the last 2 days. They're this like small team with a 6'6 center who's spacing out and shooting threes on everybody. I mean, that's another team that I think kind of on the fringes that you'll see that might surprise people come conference play.
Yeah, Micah Shrewsbury, one of Jack's favorite Big Ten coaches, as our producer, Jack Grossman. He's a Big Ten guy, Kevin. He's an IU grad. He loves Hoosiers. He's excited tonight for Mike Woodson versus Sean Miller in Cincinnati. So, yeah, he's locked in on Micah Shrewsbury and everything Big Ten. Kevin Sweeney joining us here from SI.com. Kevin, you just mentioned both the teams that I want to focus in on with Kentucky and Gonzaga. Both teams coming off losses, coming in very different ways. Kentucky loses in double overtime. Gonzaga just basically gets run off the court. Looking at both of those games, which team concerns you the most with the way they lost?
I would say Gonzaga, and it's because some of the same issues that they had in an exhibition game in the preseason against Tennessee. Obviously, again, an exhibition game, but it was a high-level game. It was in Dallas against another top 15 team. All those issues came back. They couldn't guard the three-point arc. They, in general, just could not contain the basketball, and their point guard play really struggled. Nolan Hickman, he's just not been that, like, high-level point guard. When Gonzaga's been really good, they've had really high-level point guards. Nigel Williams-Goss, Jalen Suggs, Andrew Dempard last year. Their backcourt right now doesn't have a guy like that, and you combine that with the fact you don't have Chet Holmgren blocking everything on the back end, and all of a sudden, you know, this team doesn't look elite right now. Maybe they'll get there, but I think early on, I think I have more worries about where Gonzaga is headed than I do with Kentucky.
What was it with Kentucky that led to the loss? I mean, we watched that game. I was actually in the building for that one, Kevin. It was just, to me, it just looked sloppy in the end. Were the lights too bright for some of these newcomers? I mean, C.J. Frederick didn't have a good shooting night. Antonio Reeves didn't have a good shooting night. But at the same time, you had veterans like Jacob Toppin not perform to his ability. Oscar Tshiebwe, it was his first game back. Obviously, he put up that double-double, but he made some very uncharacteristic mistakes down the stretch, doing a little playing to the crowd, which we haven't seen from Tshiebwe in the past. Why do you think Kentucky lost that game, and how correctable are those mistakes?
I mean, look, the thing that was frustrating for me with Kentucky was it felt like you weren't – I thought I would see a Kentucky team when you're starting senior C.J. Frederick, you know, fourth-year guy Jacob Toppin, you know, third-year guy Lance Ware, senior Tshiebwe, senior Sevier Wheeler, senior Antonio Reeves. Like, I thought they would play with a maturity and a poise that was lacking. Like, this looked like an 18- and 19-year-old team.
Yep.
Maybe not and that's frustrating. I'll give some credit. I mean, obviously, two guys coming off injuries in Wheeler and Tshiebwe, they just haven't practiced a ton. the team just hasn't been together as often, but it felt like Cal was really figuring out lineups. There were times when there were, you know, four non-shooters on the floor at any given time. That's not going to work. There were some real issues in terms of their communication, I thought, on defense in those late-game situations. So, you know, certainly those things are frustrating. I think they're fixable, certainly. I don't think this is the perfect team. I think they lack maybe that true shot creator off the bounce, the guy who can really go get a shot. I don't think we saw that from Cason Wallace, and obviously Sevier really has his limitations there because he's not a great three-point shooter. So I thought they really felt that when Oscar fouled out of the game, but I was more concerned, and the reason they lost the game was really because they didn't communicate very well, they didn't execute very well, and it just felt like they were figuring out who are the five guys we want on the floor in late-game situations.
No, I'm with you, Kevin. You're exactly right. The communication wasn't there. The dunks at the end of the game were very preventable in some situations. I mean, you had the play to lead to overtime where Oscar Tshiebwe just missed a guy cutting right down the lane in for an easy layup on that inbounds pass. It really felt like Tom Izzo drew some stuff up that John Calipari's team wasn't ready for or just didn't react to very well. So I'm with you. I do think that Kentucky is a little bit more fixable than Gonzaga because the athleticism and the talent does seem to be there, but they need to put it together. But at the same time, as you stated again, this is an older team. We should not be having the discussions about these mental lapses at this point in their careers. Kevin Sweeney with us, SI.com at CBB_Central on Twitter. So how do you see this matchup, the premier one-on-one that everyone's going to be looking at? Obviously, Drew Timmy, National Player of the Year, front runner, Oscar Tshiebwe, unanimous National Player of the Year last season, comes back another year, the year of the big man in college basketball. How do you see those two matching up together, and who do you think has the edge?
It's going to be a lot of fun. I think Oscar probably has the edge in the matchup just because I think he'll be able to deal with Timmy when Timmy operates in space. I think the thing that makes Drew so special is that they get him going downhill on all sorts of like rub screens, and he's able to play facing up to the basket and get into his back-to-basket looks. And I just think that Oscar's mobility will allow him to hang in. You don't need to necessarily be a great rim protector to guard Timmy. You need to be mobile and physical, and I think those are the two things that Oscar does really well. But I think both guys are going to have huge games. I think it will be won by the other four players on the floor, and that's really what I'm excited to see is how does Sevier Wheeler step up in a game like this? How does this backcourt, you know, Cason Wallace, the freshman, how do they navigate what should be a really raucous environment in Spokane? I'm certainly excited to see how they navigate that. And then for Gonzaga, like I said, the guard questions have been there, haven't really consistently generated offense. That I'm curious to see how their guards operate, especially being guarded by a guy in Cason Wallace, who I think is one of the better defenders in college basketball. Certainly one of the best freshman defenders I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, setting a record for Kentucky, his first his game there against Michigan State with 8 steals in that game. He really gave the Spartans fits. A Gonzaga win looks like what? What does a Gonzaga win look like? What do they have to do to beat Kentucky?
It's at the guard. I mean, their defense, when not playing on aircraft carriers, has been pretty rough so far. And I think that's something I would be worried about. And they have to really defend, and they have to make threes. Because I think for them to – they've got to dodge these communication lapses on defense that give up wide open ones, which have been a problem against Texas and against Tennessee in that exhibition, like I alluded to before. And then they have to space the floor. I think they're going to have to play more small with that four-guard look with Strother at the four and put Toppin in potentially mismatches. And I think that's the best recipe for Zach.
All right, Kevin, a couple more for you, and then we'll get you out of here. Appreciate the time today. Who do you expect to win on Sunday? You got the Zags or you got the Cats? Like you said, it's going to be a road environment. Not a true road game. It's not the Kennel, but it is in Spokane. Who do you expect to win on Sunday, and what does your final score look like?
I think Kentucky finds a way. I know I don't feel great about it, being that it's on the road, but I think Kentucky wins a very close game late. I think you will see a better offensive effort from Gonzaga, but I'm just not sure they're going to be able to get enough stops late in the game. I thought Michigan State was much more equipped to get key stops against Kentucky than Gonzaga.
Any thoughts on Louisville? I mean, we're in Louisville. Kevin, the Cards start out 0-3. Kenny Payne's tenure off to a rocky beginning. And the teams are losing to Bellarmine, Wright State, App State. I mean, they're not losing to Power 5, top-tier programs, and they're heading to Maui. Their first game Monday is against Arkansas. Any thoughts on the Cards and this bumpy start to their season?
Yeah, it's not pretty, and it's not going to get easier with the schedule. I haven't necessarily felt like, obviously you can nitpick certain things and he's a first-year coach. I haven't necessarily felt like the in-game stuff has been of huge concern for me with how Kenny Payne has operated. I think you just look back at some of the roster management decisions in the spring and summer, and I think you're starting to feel those concerns now. And if you're feeling them now, how are you going to feel them when you play three games in 3 days in Maui? I mean,
right.
I think LLS is going to need an IV. I mean, it's going to be a little ridiculous what they're going to have to ask him to do on the floor. So they needed help in the backcourt. They didn't get it. I do think at some point I want to see them just try to muck it up, like try to get physical, try to run and press and use your length and athleticism. This team doesn't have a whole lot of other strengths, but what it does have is big, long, athletic wings and forwards who are probably going to be able to out-athlete a lot of opposing teams, and we just haven't seen that a lot, except in desperation time. I think they have to bring that desperation-type mentality to all 40 minutes if they're going to win games this year.
Yeah, Kevin Sweeney with us. Thank you, Kevin, very much. Enjoy all the games this weekend, next week. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you down the line.
Yes, sir. You too. Have a good one.
All right. Appreciate that. Some Kevin Sweeney there, Jack. What do you think about that? I should have asked him about the Hoosiers. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
Ooh.
Sorry. I forgot to ask who's going to win that game.
It's more important to ask about Louisville for this show.
For you. Yeah, for you. That's an interesting perspective from him. I've not even thought of that, like bucking the game up.
Yeah,
like
grinding
the game to a halt and limiting possessions for the other team and just being physical and being bullies. The Baja Bullies. Yeah, Baja Bullies. Yeah, there you go, Keith Pointer, the Baja Bullies. I don't know if they can do that or not, but, I mean, Kenny Payne's got to try something different because what he's doing right now just is not working.
Well, I mean, it's a great idea from the standpoint of everyone keeps saying they need to play fast, and, the offense is so bad that you need to get transition opportunities and you need to force turnovers. But at the same time, the depth is so bad. You have so little players that you can play with.
Right.
It's not the worst idea in the world to try to just slow the game down, make things physical.
I mean, why not?
The only issue is because, remember obviously you remember this, but Pitino would always do that against Cal.
He would try to make that game as ugly as possible.
And they would do that, like, the Edgar Sosa year against John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins.
The
years when they met in the Final Four. Pitino had teams that were way less talented than Calipari's, he would just try to buck the game up, and that was good enough to keep Louisville in the game. They never really got blown out.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you weren't winning games doing that.
No.
And I don't know if how limited Louisville is offensively, if they could score enough in the half court, if it's purely a half court game.
And that first game,
I would say it's almost like you got to find a balance between the two. Where I think on the defensive end, you should absolutely be trying to muck it up, maybe be physical, but you're doing it in a way to where you're trying to force turnovers and get out in transition.
No,
because
absolutely.
On the offensive side, you can't play half court basketball with this team and expect to beat anyone.
No,
because they don't have the weapons.
They don't make shots and they turn the ball over a lot. They turn the ball over a lot. But no, that first game of the Cal tenure was the prime example of like muck it up, because that was one of the ugliest, chippiest games.
Yeah, well, DeMarcus Cousins should have been ejected.
No, he was defending himself.
He should.
Someone went below. They went below the belt on him. Jack went below the belt. Of course, I know he should have been ejected. Jack, I was watching that game with a Louisville fan.
Oh, I can only imagine how that went.
He was so mad. He was furious. He was standing up cussing at the TV. He was cussing at every Kentucky fan in the room. It was mixed company. It was Louisville and Kentucky fans all together.
See, we always did that too, because I have a couple cousins who are Kentucky fans.
Sure, I've got friends and family that are Louisville fans.
And normally it's not a big deal, but the Louisville Kentucky game, it's a hard one.
It is difficult.
I mean, Enns did throw me out of the conference room,
which is still Enns. I love you, buddy, but that's an all-time low for you. So when you threw Jack out of the conference room, that's an all-time low.
We're just chuckling
low.
That Darius Perry hit a three.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It
wasn't like Darius Perry. All he did was chuckle.
Get out, Jack. Get out. Yeah, that was bad. But, no, it was funny because my Louisville friend, fan, you know, he was jumping up and down and cussing, and I'm just laughing. Like, I'm just laughing. I'm like, ha, ha, ha. He looks at me. He's like, it's not funny. I was like, dude, it is funny.
For you,
like,
I'm sure it was hilarious.
He should have been kicked out. It is funny, and it wasn't funny for me. Let's read some text here. UPS job text line 437-9680. Texter says, mobility. Does he know Oscar just had knee surgery? He looked pretty good on his knee. I don't think that's bothering him too much. I mean, what do you think?
I would argue he looked better defending his base than he did last year. I mean, did you see that? Like, that was his biggest thing last year.
Yes.
That I had an issue with him, defending the pick and roll and defending in space.
Yep.
And especially in that Michigan State game, it's kind of hard to tell against South Carolina State because it's South Carolina State, but I mean, like, he did have the Euro move and all that
the
stuff.
The Euro step and then the dunk. But, I mean, he looked pretty explosive in that move, so I don't think mobility is an issue for him because of the knee.
He looked so much better. We still got to see how he can handle guarding a pick and roll against elite guards, but he looked so much better defending in space in that Michigan State game to where, like, he looked like a better player defensively. He did, which is crazy to say because he was the unanimous player of the year last year. But he looked better defensively. He looked better passing the ball out of the post. Yes, he did have some turnover issues against Michigan State.
Yeah.
And he looked better running the floor. He looked much, much better running the floor in both last night and against Michigan State than he did last year.
Well, even before he had the knee surgery, when he did the NBA Pro Day, I mean, Tom Harp was talking about last night how the NBA scouts were impressed with how fast he was able to get up and down the floor as a big man. Yeah. That's one of his strengths. He does
look
better.
He's turned that into a strength because that wasn't a strength last year. That wasn't something he was great at. And it's, again, just what he's done development-wise.
It's from when he was a freshman at West Virginia.
Even from when he started the season last year.
It's,
to where he's at now.
It's pretty amazing.
He was great at the start of last year, but he wasn't hitting mid-range jumpers at the start of last year. He wasn't blocking shots at the start of last year.
Right.
He wasn't making post moves at the start of last year. I remember
running the floor.
Yeah, he wasn't running the floor last year. And he was still, a double-double machine, but he was far from a perfect player. And he's not a perfect player right now, but he has gotten significantly better.
He has other skills.
The start of last year and this year, which, I played the regional because that was our guy, Kevin. That was the guest that we had.
Yes.
But because there was a time where there was a valid argument where we had the argument of he was a one-trick pony. It was offensive rebounding.
Putbacks.
That's what he does. But he is diversified his game in so many ways, even last year from that point in, early December through the end of the year, and has taken it massive steps farther between the end of last year and the start of this year, despite missing 4 weeks for a knee surgery.
Right, and then the under the basket moves he was making against Michigan State, like doing reverse layups and stuff.
He wasn't doing that last year.
No, he wasn't. No. Texter, job one for the Zags should be to try and get Oscar in foul trouble. Well, yeah, duh.
never would have guessed that.
Yeah, Texter also says if Wheeler can attack the basket under control, Zags could have a problem. Agreed with that. Texter, Strebel, keep at these bums. It's all love from a Louisville fan. You and Andy are the only ones holding Kenny accountable for sucking. Give us 3 hours of aliens. Maybe one day we'll do a three-hour alien show, but not today.
Get the bleep out.
What? What did he say?
He texted both of us. He was chuckling 2 feet from my ear after an 11-0 run.
Stop it, Inns. Come on.
That was weak.
It's just, we're just
Ince,
having
we love
fun.
You, but
we
that,
do.
But that was weak.
Come on. It was. Texter, stop. It's a November basketball game on the road. It doesn't matter. I think
I
think they're being facetious there because that's something Cal would say. Or Kentucky fans would used to say that, but not anymore. All right, we got to take a break. We're up against it. We've got Rob McLamb here to talk NC State and Wolfpack football here on the Take, ESPN 680-1057.